Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, Past and Present. We're on location today to talk about the contributions of enslaved and free blacks to the American Revolution. Colonial Williamsburg, this October, celebrates Brothers in Arms with a weekend of 18th century military encampments, demonstrations, and character interpretations. I'm Lloyd Dobbins on History.org. Today I'm talking with Greg James about an all-black American Army unit, the Rhode Island Regiment. The first Rhode Island Regiment was the first African outfit in the Continental Army. Were they all free blacks or were they enslaved blacks?
Well, they were both free and enslaved. But the first Rhode Island Regiment was an all-black regiment. Free black joining the first Rhode Island Regiment, a man named Beriah Clark from Connecticut, and he was a free black, and he was a tailor. And there were some slaves also in the first Rhode Island Regiment as well. And these slaves were purchased by the state of Rhode Island from their masters for 120 pounds or more. And in return, after the war, these slaves were given their freedom.
That's a tough way to earn your freedom.
Well, true. But freedom is worth fighting for. And not only that, a lot of them were given their freedom, but they were also given pension and land and so forth.
Mm-hmm. What battles did the Rhode Island Regiment fight in?
Well, when the first Rhode Island and then later on in 1778, the second Rhode Island Regiment, and they combined the two and just had one, they fought in the Battle of Red Bank in New Jersey, Valley Forge, and some of them even marched all the way here to the siege at Yorktown in the surrender of Cornwallis, marched all the way from New York to here, Virginia, to that siege in Yorktown, which is about 12 miles from Williamsburg here.
It's a long walk.
But that's determination. Determination for freedom, mm-hmm. Equality, liberty.
When they combined the two units, was it still an all-black unit?
Now, at that time, it wasn't all-black. You had a few what is known as mustee. Mustee is another term for example, like a mulatto, mm-hmm. or mix. Mustee is half Indian and half African American. Mm-hmm. So they did have a mixed, and later on, this one documentation described the unit as a speckled troops. And that was part of the Continental Army, which was essentially part of Rhode Island Regiment.
Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to the Rhode Island Regiment? You don't hear much about it.
Well, it's a part of history that a lot of it, and see, history, that would make history so beautiful and so wonderful. It's history, but a lot of it is hard to find. But when you do find it, you run with it, and you use it to the ability that needs to seem fit. And what I mean is, what is history without everyone who played part of that history to make American how it became today and on the road to become American? And those individuals, I believe that's a lot of reason why some of the African American is a little reluctant about history, because it's the part of history that you very seldom hear about. Mm-hmm. We have, including myself, before I started here at Colonial Williamsburg, I never knew that there was African Americans Poland muskets or in the war, except, you know, during the later part of the early 20th century and so forth. But I never knew back in the 1700s or middle or toward the late 1700s that there was actually African-Americans in the war. And that hook, that one hook that you could use for to educate individuals, you know, besides having a stereo type that when they hear about slaves, the first thing comes to mind is being whipped or, you know, the harsh, slavery is harsh anyway, please don't get me wrong. But for through looking through it as a young adult's eyes, you know, they need something to hold on to be proud of. Mm-hmm. And part of one of the hooks is free blacks. So not all blacks come over here with slaves, which a lot of folks believe that all blacks came over here with slaves. And so you use that hook as, for example, as in the military.
As a matter of fact, I hadn't thought about it, but blacks in the military with muskets in 1770 or whenever, there was a law in Virginia before that that no black could own a weapon at all, any kind. So it must have been the first time that blacks used muskets must have been in the army.
Well, see, that goes to my point, what I was saying. See, during the Revolutionary Era, when Governor Dunmore issued a proclamation right here in Williamsburg, he was trying to raise arms to control Virginia. That was the part of the king controlling the colonies. You know, the more Africans you bring over, you know, the better control. And money, of course, the economy, and they were making the money also. But when the Americans saw this, especially after in early 1777, then I get some of the leaders here in Virginia and other areas had to swallow their pride because they saw that this was happening, that the British was raising their arms and bodies and men and women. So they had to think of another way to build their arms. So that's when they started accepting men only in the Continental Army to raise their arms. And in return, not only did they give them freedom, but they also give them pension and 100 acres of land. That one particular man named Cuff Green, he was given 100 acres of land for his service. Another instance, Jack Chaplin, he was given $3.50 in 1818, $3.50 a month as a pension.
I wonder what that would be now, but I'm not good enough at math to figure it out. Well, you guess that would be enough?
Well, if you look back at it, and certainly wouldn't be enough now the way price of gas is, but if you look at it, you can look at it this way. In the 1700s, a lot of individuals, depending on what craft or trade they had, made 4 to maybe 6 shillings a day. Now, half of a shilling is about 6 pence. Well, 6 pence or 7 pence, you can buy some eggs, a chicken. As a matter of fact, a half a shilling, you can even purchase a night stay at the Raleigh Tavern in a public lodging. Of course, private is negotiable. So that's to give you an idea. You know, the money value versus the $3.50 in 1818. I imagine you could buy right many groceries.
Yeah. That would be, after the War of 1812, Yeah, prices were down. Mm-hmm. $350 would do quite well.
Oh, absolutely. Even a rental fee mm-hmm. for the month.
Do you know, you were mentioning earlier that the Rhode Island Regiment, some of the guys got pensions after the war, and some of the guys got freedom after the war. Was everybody who served in the Rhode Island Regiment sent free? Do you know?
To my knowledge, yes, they were. To my knowledge, according to the documentation that we have, the Library of Congress and other resources that we have gotten this from, many of them were free, but many of them died, unfortunately. That one particular man that I spoke about that marched all the way from New York to the siege here in Yorktown, you know, fought in the Battle of Red Bank, Valley Forge, and other battle on their way down here to Virginia, to Yorktown, and marched back in the late fall, early winter, excuse me. And when they walked back, this one particular gentleman lost all of his toes on his right foot, and his joint in his left foot was badly bruised, and he didn't last long at all, after the war. Mm-hmm. You know, he passed on. But so a lot of them passed on. Most of them was inoculated, for the smallpox. Mm-hmm. Many of them went back to their home in Rhode Island, Connecticut, and went back to Massachusetts.
On a personal level, do you enjoy interpreting?
Oh, I enjoy it to the utmost.
Really?
I enjoy it to the utmost. I enjoy it so much because history, to be honest with you, in school, history was not one of my favorite subjects. It simply was not. Why? Well, because it was so many dates to remember, and it was not taught to me well. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest with you. And so as I learned the history for my whole time being here, which is probably over 18 years, I learned how to simplify the history so that I can teach it and to apply it in an elementary way to even the smallest child, but not to insult the older's intelligence. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. So
if it was taught to me a little better, then maybe I would have understood it more at a younger age. But I enjoy people in general, all kinds and types of people. Of course, sometimes you have those individuals that, have their way, but I know how to deal with them as well. I use it as an education tool, because I am here, and we here at the Foundation are here to educate our guests, regardless of where they come from, who they are, and so forth.
Brothers in Arms is October 8th and 9th. For more information, check history.org, where you'll also find more to download and hear. That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Hope you enjoyed it.